Welcome back, everybody, to an all-new episode of Dirtcast. I am your co-host, Madeline Davies.
I'm your other co-host, Megan Reynolds.
And today on the podcast, we have fellow podcasters, Jay Hunt and Robert Ackerman of One More Thing. They are here to talk about their very exciting and convincing theory that Leah Michelle doesn't know how to read or write.
She comes in and sees a wall full of post-it notes with, like, notes on them, and she goes, what is this?
But first, Megan, you're a little under the weather.
I am, but you know what? I'm just being a baby, and I will recover.
That's one of the best parts of being sick, though, is being...
I just haven't been sick all winter.
Yeah.
And then now, maybe because the weather is changing or because my mom is coming into town... Ooh. On Thursday, my body was like, ah, yes, let me hobble you.
Will she
further.
Babysit you? No, ma'am.
It's the other way around.
Oh.
Yeah, it's going to be real.
No rest.
No rest for the wicked or for me. How are you?
I'm okay. That's all I got to say. I'm wearing my Shannon Bedore sweatshirt. I just caught you looking at it.
I am. It's staring at me. So.
I have a custom-made sweatshirt that
has pretty good.
Shannon Bedore's face on it. And then I made my friend Tracy one with Vicki Gunvalson's face on it. And when we stand next to each other, it looks like they're screaming at each other.
That's actually a really brilliant... I love that. I really
you.
Like
it's
that.
It's a good gift.
That's a really good gift.
Are you ready to get a little dirty?
Let's get into the dirtiest dirt. So, Cardi B.
We
just keep saying it.
I mean, there's just so much going on.
There really is. She has, her new album came out on Friday.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Really fun.
Very fun, very enjoyable.
The cover is so good.
The cover is good. All of the songs are good. I'm really excited for the... It made me excited for summer.
And it is, as we were discussing with our coworkers earlier.
Yes, yes.
People kind of were like, oh, this like 15 minutes of fame person.
She's extended it for some time.
Yeah, she's proven them wrong.
She also was on... She was a musical guest on Saturday Night Live this past week. Listen, this lust got you this messed up in the head. You want a random chick up in your bed. She don't even know your middle name. Watch it, because she might steal your chain. With Chadwick Boseman as the host, and she revealed...
I do feel like, just what? Like editorially, I can't really talk about this episode because I... date Chadwick Boseman.
Oh my God, of course. So. I totally forgot. I'll just handle this.
Yeah, there feels like there's kind of like an ethical.
Yeah, that's Maddie's partner. Every time she says that, it's Chadwick Boseman.
We have our cats.
Just so you know from here on out.
So,
okay.
Yeah, I just feel like a little uncomfortable.
Okay, cool.
I'll keep going.
Thank you so much. She is pregnant.
Cardi is pregnant. It's been rumored for a while.
Right, because there's been a lot of like photos of her recently holding like a variety of things in front of her midsection.
They're hiding it in a way that is not hiding it.
Yeah, but now we know for sure because she revealed.
We could say we knew for sure because of Wendy Williams.
That's true. Wendy Williams always knows.
Well, she was like, she's not pregnant on her show. And then an audience member was like, yes, she is. And then Wendy went and sat down with her and was
right.
like, what do you know?
Oh my God, that's right.
And
I forgot about that.
And it was like, she like had like styled her. For something.
Oh, I remember this now. Well, everyone knows she looked great. She showed the bump, which is like a very gross word for someone's body.
What about the swell?
Ew. Who says that?
I was trying to find an alternative.
Oh, I just like don't like, oh, I hate like bump watch.
Yeah.
Like celebrity bump watch. Like get the fuck out of here. Like leave everybody alone.
The quickening.
Yeah.
That's not works. Even what that means.
No, it doesn't. No, but it works. So that happened. So she's going to have this baby. She just had this album. The brilliant Katie Weaver profiled her for GQ for the May issue. We learned a lot of stuff. We learned about her butt injections.
I feel like that was the standout thing that I learned.
I mean, I feel like I already knew that, but I just didn't know the details.
Oh, I knew that she
right,
had
of course.
Them. She's very open about all
right.
of the stuff that she's had.
But it's the deets about the butt injections. So this is from the GQ article. Cardi claimed her ass from the universe in a basement apartment in Queens where, for $800, a woman injected her buttocks with filler. They don't numb your ass with anything, she says. It was the craziest pain ever. I felt like I was going to pass out. I felt a little dizzy, and it leaks for like 5 days.
Yeah. And then she goes on to say, in case you are like, I want to be like Cardi B.
Yeah.
She goes on to say that she like was actually pretty happy with the results, but like wanted more and went back.
Right.
But this underground butt injection operation had been shut down.
Seems for the best.
Because someone had died.
But Cardi B's body is fine.
It's another very good example of like why people find her so delightful is that she would just tell this story about like buying these like
kind
knock
of
off
brand
butt injections.
Ass injections. Yeah. She seems like a delight.
Yeah. But again, that's something that only she could really sell.
That's true.
As far as like telling the story without me just being like absolutely horrified.
Yeah, no, it's true. Anyone else, I would have been like, ooh.
She's a delight. She like posted on Instagram, I think. There was like her ad in Times Square, and she was like, I used to strip here. And I was just like,
aw, you did. Right. That's good.
So moving on from Cardi B, the princess of now.
The princess of now.
Let's talk about the princess of the 80s and the Rat Pack.
Mm-hmm.
Molly Ringwald.
Ah, yes.
She wrote an essay for The New Yorker about sexism in John Hughes movies and kind of looking back at pieces of, like, very revered art that she was a part of that have some, like, incredibly questionable content in them by 2018 standards.
Right.
They're very racist in certain respects. They love to say, like, gay slurs. Like, the heroes say gay slurs.
Yeah.
I'm out of town, okay? He speaks English, right? Don't be such faggots.
Man, shut up. Kidding.
And for me, the most notable example is the rape that happens in 16 Candles, which Megan is flinching at me.
I'm rifling through my spotty memory. I don't think I'm just gonna fucking say it. I don't think I've seen a John Hughes movie all the way through.
Really?
Yeah. There's really big gaps in my movie knowledge that I filled with watching like Big Business over and over again, or like League of Their Own. So I know those movies intimately.
Sure.
But like a 16 Candles, the other one, I've seen The Breakfast Club, I think once.
I think The Breakfast Club is my favorite of all of those.
So there's a rape in 16 Candles.
The plot is that Jake Ryan, who is the crush, Molly Ringwald's crush, he has this very pretty, like, cheerleader girlfriend named Caroline.
Okay.
And he's very much over her.
Mm.
And so he has a house party, and she gets wasted.
Mm-hmm. Everybody, I'd like you to meet my boyfriend, Jake. Jake, this is everybody.
And at one point, he says to the geek, who is Anthony Michael Hall.
Yes, okay.
He's like, she's so wasted that I could, like, have her any way I wanted to right now, but I don't want to.
A piece of ass anytime I want. Shit, I got Carolyn in the bedroom right now, passed out cold. I could violate her 10 different ways if I wanted to.
And then he's like, how about you take her?
Oh, my God.
I'll let you take Carolyn home. But you got to make sure she gets home. You can't leave her in some parking lot somewhere.
Jesus.
And then it's like, at the next morning, the geek and Caroline wake up in a car together.
Ah.
And both of them are like, we don't really remember what happened. And then Caroline goes like, but I think I liked it.
Do you know if, did I enjoy it? I mean, nuts, of course I enjoyed it. I mean, what I meant was, did you?
You know, I have this weird feeling I did.
Whoa.
So, like, it really is, like, he gave his, like, passed out girlfriend to this person who then had sex with her, probably.
Yeah.
And that's, like, on top of, like, the Long Duck Dong Asian character.
I'm familiar with the Long Duck Dong situation.
And cool. So Molly Ringwald actually, like, interviewed the woman who played Caroline, and everyone was sort of like, we feel, like, pretty queasy about this now.
Mm-hmm.
And she concluded, I think very thoughtfully.
Yes.
How are we meant to feel about art that we both love and oppose? What if we are in the unusual position of having helped create it? Erasing history is a dangerous road when it comes to art. Change is essential, but so too is remembering the past in all of its transgressions and barbarism, so that we may properly gauge how far we have come and also how far we still need to go.
That's a very thoughtful response.
Yeah, I think Molly Ringwald is one of those people who, like, despite being famous really, really young, seems, like, pretty together.
Right. No, that's a great—I mean, I think that's a great response. I think that's a question that lots of people, like, the issue that she's grappling with. There's something that many people are grappling with in this new age.
And we appreciate her doing it publicly.
We do. It's nice. It's nice when they speak out.
A lot of cab drivers have told me that I look like you, Molly. So.
See, that's special.
Yeah.
That's nice. So good for Molly.
Also, yeah, we don't give enough accolades on the show.
No.
Way to go, Molly. And if you watch a John Hughes movie now, you are racist and sexist. Bye.
So Drake has this new song out. It's called Nice For What. The video was directed by Karina Evans. I enjoyed it, but was also confused because it samples Lauryn Hill's song X Factor, which was like one of her like slower songs from The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. And then it also samples Big Frida, who's a bounce artist. And the song sounds like, to me, one of those songs that you would hear on, like, a bounce remix of perhaps that Lauryn Hill song that you would hear on the radio in New Orleans. Everybody get your motherfucking roll on. I know shorty and she doesn't want no slow song. Had a man last year, life goes on. And I don't understand if Drake has moved away from his, like, West Indies, like, dance hall association and is now trying to colonize the sort of early, like, 99, 2000 juvenile Hot Boys, Lil Wayne Cash Money situation. Like, I don't know if that's where he's heading, in which case, I don't know how I feel. I will hear it out of every single fucking car.
Right.
For, like, the next 6 months. So I will be fine with it.
We also forgot two notable people who are in it, Letitia Wright from the breakout star of Black Panther.
Yep.
My boyfriend's sister.
Your boyfriend's sister from the movie. Yes, of course. I've met her many times. She's so nice.
And Misty Copeland.
Oh, my God. That's right. I love Misty Copeland.
Famed ballerina.
Drake found a bunch of famous-ass women who are all really pretty and was like, be in this music video. But then the director also probably was like, I want these women. The video is, like, fine. The song is good to fine.
It's very, like, Lemonade-esque.
Feels like a Nike commercial.
Like, the part with, like, Jordan Dunn on the horse. Like, yeah. I don't know.
I got a little, like, sort of extended athletic company shoe commercial vibe from it. But I think
you seem to dislike it more than I did.
I think I like the song more than I like the video, and that's saying something because I'm still not sure how I feel about the song, especially if Drake is, like, attempting to I don't understand why this, like, I don't understand why he chose to do, like, a bounce record. I think that's my beef, my very petite and specific beef.
Petite beef.
My petite beef.
I mean, I think you'll find an answer to it. I bet he'll be interviewed about it a lot.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear. I cannot wait to hear what he says. Because I never understood what I'm sure he had reasons. I kind of forgot about Drake because his last album was because Views was like 23 songs and too long and like not good.
Yeah.
So I just stopped thinking about Drake as a concept and a person. And then this song just really thrust him right back in.
Yeah, I think I am always pleased by Drake,
yeah,
but not in a way where I'm like, this is art.
Yeah, yeah.
But
no,
it's just like, I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun to dance to.
Yes.
And also, like, I'm really enjoying watching, like, all of my favorite women performers in this video looking incredible.
I mean, thank you, Drake, for that.
And thank you to the director, Karina Evans.
Thank you, Karina Evans, 22-year-old Karina Evans.
Must be nice to be that talented.
Yeah. So that will be a song. I think that song and I think the Drake song and I think Bickenhead off of Cardi B's album will be two songs that we'll hear a lot. I don't know when I suddenly became a music critic or like a trend forecaster.
I don't know, but you had a lot to say about that song. I was like, oh, we'll talk about this because like so many cool people are in it.
I have like an essay.
Then Megan really just went for it.
And I guess we'll just transition to our last item, which is not ideal.
So the new Real Housewives of New York season premiered last week.
Season 10. These women have been on television for 10 years.
You could have had a baby the first season. It would be 10 now.
10-year-old baby. Adult child.
You're going to find the middle there.
It's one of those. It's a 10-year-old.
There exists somewhere in the
person.
On it, it kicked off with a costume party, which is always a great. It's like always great for the housewives because there's always going to be some major, you know,
like a mistake,
pratfall,
right?
In an extreme way.
Yeah.
The theme of the party was like legends living and dead.
Yikes!
Which was very funny to like see how it ran the gamut,
like how they interpret that.
Like, of course, Carol Raswell was fucking Amelia Earhart. And she, like, chain-smoked through the whole night.
What?
And she was like, she was a chain-smoker. It's
Carol,
fine.
Babe.
And she's like, I don't smoke, but, like, I'm chain-smoking.
But I'm smoking right now.
But then all of the other women were, like, pop stars.
Oh.
Bethany was Barbie, who's not a person living or dead.
She's a doll.
Ramona was, oops, I did it again, Britney. Her body looked great.
Oh, my God. Congratulations, Ramona. That's disgusting.
Dorinda was Gaga in the bubble dress and got so drunk and incoherent, as Dorinda's want to do.
Mm.
Her boyfriend, John, who is like this,
I love
like,
John.
Mafia.
Big thick John.
Neck,
yeah, like
mafia guy.
John, yeah.
Was a SWAT team man.
What?
A man on a SWAT team, but he like couldn't close the vest.
It was straining over his like bulbous body.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Fuck.
And Luann, who we all know, has fallen in hard times.
She has.
A quickie marriage and a quickie divorce.
Mm, slapped a cop in Palm Beach.
This is before that happens,
though.
Oh,
gotcha.
We
got
to go back in our minds.
I see. I'm back there.
To a time before our earth was shattered by... I know. It's hard to remember.
I don't know.
Luann shows up.
Uh-huh.
As Diana Ross.
Ah, what a choice.
Which is a choice.
It's a choice.
She also, though she's denied it since,
uh-huh,
clearly darkened her skin for it. And I think because she, like, didn't go full, like, she didn't, like shoe polish
it. Yeah, it wasn't like Ted Danson that one time.
No. oh, God. Yeah.
It was like bronzer. It was like...
She just, like, put on, like,
like, a foundation that was, like, a lot darker and then, like, a bronzer. She looked muddy.
Yeah, you can just,
anything.
Like, Google it. It, like, looks like she, like, she has, like, a rust rubbed over her skin or something. And then, like, a huge afro.
Yeah.
And then a white jumpsuit and
sure.
a fake microphone. Maybe you disagree. I'm, like, I think it makes, like, I don't know. You could dress up as someone of a different race as long as, like, you're not... changing your skin color in a way that like plays into a very long history of
No, I feel like there's always
racism, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely.
Minstrelsy.
Yep, that's a good one too. I feel like this comes up a lot with like Disney characters because kids want to be like Moana or like Pocahontas or like whoevs for Halloween. And like I remember one year they were selling like what is the Maui. The Rock's character in Moana, he has all these like Maori-esque tattoos all over his bod, and they were selling like a Maui costume that had just like a little because he's
Maui's
also shirtless. Maui is the name of the god, yeah. And he's shirtless and he just has all these tattoos on him and like a little skirt. So they sold the costume, and it's like there was a shirt that was like brown with all the tattoos on it, because you're not going to have, like, a seven-year-old kid running around topless on Halloween, and people were, like, very upset about that.
Right, because it's, like, tribal tattoos.
Yeah, but there's, like, a way, I feel like you can be, I mean, I don't know, I was, like, as a non-white person, I was almost always, like, white characters for Halloween. Like, I was the Queen of Hearts one year. She looked really good, but.
I mean, she doesn't really have a color.
But she's white, though.
I mean, she's, like, pure white.
She's like, what, right, but she's also like a white person.
I'm
okay, yeah, cool. I was like, Maddie,
I'm thinking
really.
Of like a deck of cards.
I'm so tired. But yeah, it's, I mean, Luann, buddy.
The one example I think of always as like someone doing it like really well is Kristen Wiig for a while had this bit whenever she would go on Fallon. She would come on as like a different celebrity wearing a costume and then interviewed like about what that celebrity would get interviewed as.
Right. Okay.
And she like did one as Harry Styles and it was really, really funny.
Okay.
And then she did one as Michael Jordan.
Oh.
And it was just amazing because she just came on in like a white lady's bald cap.
Oh, nice. And like in a basketball jersey.
And like a way too huge basketball jersey and sneakers. And was just like, hi, I'm Michael Jordan. And she like didn't change her.
Perfect.
Like nothing where it's like.
Oh, that's amazing.
I don't know.
I can't believe that I'm sitting next to Michael Jordan.
I know. I was in the building and I was like,
what?
No. Jimmy's upstairs.
Yeah. You were downstairs in the building.
I was downstairs just practicing.
Practicing. Yeah, in the building. Unbelievable.
Like, that's fine.
But Luann was not doing that, is what
no,
I'm saying.
No, Luann was not doing that. She
like,
was
if she just
like
wanted the white jumpsuit and like the eye makeup, like go crazy. But
yeah.
I don't know.
Do you think she knew what she was doing?
I don't think. Luann is super culturally literate
or
when
like
it comes
sensitive,
to that type of
right.
thing. I think she's like Algonquin. Like she's she's Native American.
Right. I have heard her say that numerous times.
She's or maybe a quarter or a half.
Right.
And like there have been episodes where she's like said like really like racist things about Native Americans. So and like people have been offended and she's like, ha ha ha. And then she'll like do like a war call.
Oh my Lord.
So I feel like maybe just like hanging around like old European dudes her whole life has like made her like racially really
totally
questionable.
Yeah.
And then her daughter got busted in a video saying the N-word.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I think she's like, it's an homage. You know, like, and then you're like, no, like, you
like,
shouldn't
Luann.
Do that. She's like, she's a legend. It's an homage. And you have to kind of just be like, oh, girl.
Oh, she's exhausting.
You're going to go to rehab soon.
Yep.
So this week, we're very lucky to have two people who are in the news, I'm going to say.
Oh.
Kind of a rising profile sitting across from us.
Breakout stars.
This is Jay Hunt and Robert Ackerman from One More Thing, a podcast where they kind of talk about, it's just kind of like a current events culture podcast with the queer lens is how I would describe it.
Yeah. Some of the stuff that we talk about is a little more knowledge-based, and then some of it is like things that are happening this week.
Yeah, we try to run the gamut of like all over the world and then just like here in our very own houses.
Yeah,
I know that doesn't make any sense. But
if you listen to the podcast, it makes perfect sense.
That makes perfect sense to me. Yeah, I get that.
Speaking of things that just kind of happened in your houses, you guys recently, again, came under the microscope.
Say it.
For blowing the lid off of this conspiracy theory that you, to be fair, invented.
Yes.
Which is that Lea Michele, star of Glee and Scream Queens, doesn't know how to read.
Or write,
Or write.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Cool.
So she recently recognized this conspiracy theory.
Yes.
So I want to just like,
amazing.
For people who aren't up on Lea Michele, like we may be. I'm wondering if you guys could just sort of like walk us through the conspiracy theory. In, you know, I know it's like, you guys, for if people are really interested, you guys have a Facebook Live video describing it in depth.
Yes.
So long that I've never watched it again.
Yeah, that's amazing. The thing. We made the video almost a year ago.
8 months ago, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my
and
God.
And we kind of didn't think anything about it since, because it was meant for our 40 followers at
the
time.
Right, yeah.
And we hadn't even really started the podcast yet, which is why it's so separate than the things that we actually do.
Yeah. Gotcha.
There's an amazing moment in it really early on where I'm like, once we get to 3 viewers, we're going to start, and then like below that you can see like 200,000 views. It's like, oh, little did we know that 8 months later we would suddenly have like everyone in the world apparently has seen it, which that's is crazy.
Amazing.
Two of them are our moms and they try to talk to us the whole time.
Yeah.
That's even better.
If you can go back and find those comments, they're really great.
Yeah, it'll be my mom being like, thanks so much, and then it's like, well, mom, no, we can't hear you.
Mom, I can't see the okay, mom.
I like
you're
that
welcome.
She's just thanking you though.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember what the – anyway, so I don't know if you guys read the book Sorry, Not Sorry.
Fuck yeah, I did.
You did?
Yes.
Oh my
Thank
God,
you.
No,
I have a copy at my home that's like has so many post-it notes in it.
We have post-its yes. in ours too.
Oh my
too.
God.
Yes. Okay.
Right. Wait, have you not read it?
I have not. I know wow. what it is, but I
guess
have
you're
not read it.
I guess you're not as cultured as we are.
That's true.
This is Naya Rivera's tell all.
Mm-hmm.
Tell some.
Say something.
Her, she covers it all, but she doesn't really go into depth about anything.
Right.
No.
The real focus of her book for us was this one story about Lea Michele where Lea refuses to improvise and Tim Conway is there. And I believe Tim Conway's granddaughter cries because she can't believe that Lea Michele could be so, quote, such a bitch to her grandfather because she refuses to go off script.
Wow.
And that really stuck out to me when I read it. And I assume, I don't remember, but I think you were also pretty into that story.
The whole chapter isn't about Lea, but that one specific moment is. And then she goes on to talk about Lea, but then she changes the way that she talks about her to just a cast member.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you're supposed to be like, oh, I wonder if it was maybe like
Chris Colfer.
Yeah. Okay. Who knows which one it could possibly. And then it's like this particular diva locked herself in her trailer. And you're like, wow, Diana Agron's really lost control.
Darren, Chris.
Yeah. As legend has it, we were in a sushi burrito place. We were talking about it, and the conversation turned to why Lea hadn't spoken out about the book yet, because Naya was in the middle of the press tour for it, and the topic that everybody that was talking about was like, well, you obviously have a feud with Lea Michele. Do you talk about it in the book? And she was always like, yeah, I mean, kinda.
Wow.
Really good impression.
It's like she's right here.
Little did you know, we brought another guest, Naya Rivera. And we were like, okay, so, like, let's look into what she said about it on Twitter or anything like that. And there wasn't anything.
Robert said, I wonder why Lea hasn't said anything about it. And I said, maybe she can't read because she can't read the book. And then we were like, ha, 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 ha. And I think Robert, like, posted a Facebook status about, like, this stupid thing that I had said. And then—
Which got, like, five likes.
Yeah.
Right.
And then
okay.
slowly, over the course of, like, 6 or 7 months, we started to believe it.
And it's not our—it's fully not our fault. Because
it's Lea's fault.
The genius, I'd say, to the theory is that there is so much evidence that helps us as opposed to what hinders us.
Yeah.
Right.
And we started talking about it with our friends and stuff like that. It turned into basically a party trick. Where everyone would be like, oh my God, like talk to us about Lea Michele. Like, what is she doing? And we'd be like, well, the other day she was at SoulCycle and like posted a picture of the words on the wall and they're her vocabulary words and it would kill everybody. But then, like, everybody knew different pieces of the theory. So we were like, we have to do a Facebook Live to kind of get this out there. And we were in the middle of designing the podcast. So we were like, this will be a way to drag all of our friends to this Facebook page and force them to listen to us talk about other things.
Right. It's the bait.
It was the bait.
Mm-hmm. It took us, like, about a week to make it. And we made this PowerPoint and we kept, like, and we kind of told some of our friends that we were going to do this. And they started sending us more stuff and being like, well, what about this? And every time they did, we would be able to flip it into proof that she actually can't read. And I actually remember really distinctly one morning I woke up and Robert had texted me at like 2 a.m. and was like, I found proof that she can read. I don't know how we can do this. And it actually ended up being in the PowerPoint presentation because then an hour later he texted me, wait a second, I figured it out. And it's the video where she's on the Ellen show with all the rest of the cast of Glee and they're playing Cards Against Humanity. Yeah, and she doesn't know what her cards say and they have to help her.
I think pretending to care.
Yeah!
Wow.
It's awesome. So basically, so something that we haven't been talking about that I think that we should comment on is what the actual theory is.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. I am loving this sort of around it.
So that's
but
what
I
happened.
No, this is an oral history.
Yeah.
So the theory is, so Lea Michele was in Les Mis and Ragtime when she was really young.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Her character has like 6 words that she just repeats for 3 hours. And then Les Mis has been around since the 80s?
Like the dawn of time.
Yeah, yeah. The 80s. And she has like that one song and is done.
Fun fact, actually, that I just learned. She would sometimes play young Eponine and sometimes play young Cosette, and they wouldn't rotate. So when she was young Cosette, she just had to learn Castle on a Cloud. When she was young Eponine, all she had to do was like stand there and be like,
by a broom.
Yeah.
She just had to like be mean.
Yeah, and then the attorneys would be like, okay, bye. So but she never really, in those two shows, had to learn a lot of stuff. And when little kids are in developmental readings, basically they'll just be like told their lines because people don't have time to be like, all right, Leah, here's how you know.
Right.
So we kind of got to the point where we were like, well, maybe she never really got to the point where she was able to learn how to read and write because she was busy being mega famous in these hit Broadway mega musicals.
Right.
Oh my God.
And then don't forget, she then went on to Spring Awakening where she was with it from the very beginning.
Showed her hoots.
Exactly.
Right.
Jonathan Groff showed his butt too.
Yeah, he does.
So. Yeah, hoots and ass.
On that weird little swing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The sex swing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That show is really weird.
It is very, very weird. She developed that character. Mm-hmm. So she was, you know, the one picking her own lines.
Right.
And where we went with that in the PowerPoint is there's a really great picture of her a workshop for Spring Awakening. And there's an actor with her that has his binder open, and he's kind of like, you know, midway through the show, and her binder is opened, and like two pages have been turned. And we were like, oh, because she knows it. She doesn't need.
She doesn't need to like follow along.
No, exactly, because
it's all up here, man.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then the theory goes she went to Glee where she met Ryan Murphy, who's the mastermind behind the whole thing because he reads her lines.
Which is, when you think about it, she's worked with him
forever.
Yeah.
She continues to work with him.
And one of the things that we found out about the Glee cast is when they're making the episodes, they're trying, this is one of my favorite things, they're trying to pump out so much music. And especially in the beginning, they were releasing the music like a week
like
ahead
albums,
of time.
Right, yeah.
And I mean, they were huge. Like they were on Oprah and like all this stuff. Basically, when they're recording, there are two different Glee casts. There's like the karaoke class, which is like all the people that they get to record the music and kind of figure it out and the musical directors work with. Mm-hmm. And then they lay down the track so that the cast can come in and put headphones on and listen and do what the musical director has already decided for them so that they can like whip through the songs.
Right.
Which means that Lea Michele does not need to read any of the music that is given to her.
Right.
And all of that music is also covers.
Right.
For a large portion of the show.
She did not have to read the lyrics to Firework.
Exactly. And even if she didn't know all the words, she has like Sally one note like in her head.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Giving her the music.
Sally one note is nice.
Got her.
I've seen Johnny one note this morning. It's a whole thing.
And then she continues to work with Ryan Murphy through Scream Queens, which was canceled, unfortunately. And then she went on to The Mayor, which was canceled after five episodes. In the pilot of The Mayor, there's a scene where she comes in and sees a wall full of post-it notes with like notes on them. And she goes, what is this?
Oh my God.
And then later you go into her office and she has post-it notes on her wall and none of them say anything.
And like, what are we supposed to do with that?
I'm 100% serious.
Oh my God. What are we supposed to do with that?
We make a video about it.
Obviously.
And there are scenes in The Mayor where she's like looking through bills and she's like, I don't understand any of this. And she just like throws it aside.
She can't read, bitch.
Yeah.
One of my favorite pieces of evidence you guys had is her signing the wall.
When that happened, I don't know how to explain to you the feeling I had in my body watching her do that over and over again. It's her at a radio station.
Columbia.
Signing on an artist wall, and
she says, I'm at Columbia, signing on the artist wall. I can do it with perfect inflection because I've seen it over 100 times.
And her name is already written out, and she draws a line underneath of it. The weird thing about the line is that it has already been drawn and then erased, and then she does it over top of the line.
Exactly.
She can't read.
She can't.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
You guys are very clear, too, that this is, like, not, like, making fun of illiteracy at all.
Oh, my God.
This is making fun of child actors who just never – this is making fun of exclusively
Lea Michele.
Well, that was one of the things that we've been talking about.
I love that.
Between us for the past couple of weeks ever since this started, because we never really had to talk about the fact that that's not what we're doing.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And then as soon as people started to see the video more and more, we started to get a little bit of feedback that was not great. And we we were like, oh, you just don't get it. So let us explain
it. Let me just do this.
That's what I understand.
Let me just lay this on.
And we're like, no, we don't talk about anyone else who can't
right.
read. Yeah. We only talk about Lea Michele.
We're not an illiteracy podcast.
No.
We're also not a Lea Michele podcast.
Yes.
Interesting. Strangely
exactly.
enough.
Well, yeah. What I like, too, is when somehow Lea got a hold of this video.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Her Twitter response was like, yes, and I did it. She was either like, it was like, I read this and wrote this tweet.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so I'm going to correct you because it's actually really funny.
I'd love a correction.
Oh,
the tweet itself says,
loved reading this tweet and wanted to write you back. Literally laughing out loud at all this. Love you. And what you'll notice about that is that there are no pronouns in it. She never says, I loved reading this. She never says, I wanted to write a response.
Also, prove that you wrote that.
Yeah, let's see a video of you typing
it,
Lea.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so
I want to see a video of you in a calligraphy class.
I've never wanted anything more.
Yeah, that sounds great.
I do want to talk about your hatred of Dear Evan Hansen.
I've never
seen that.
How
do you
know about this? Yeah, how do you know
about that? Because I listened to the podcast.
Oh.
You guys acted like I like read your journal.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so we went to go see it off-Broadway.
Yeah.
In its like final weekend.
And to be clear, I sat with a school group of middle schoolers.
Oh, God.
In the last row, and I was next to the teacher, and at intermission.
Your ticket was free.
Yeah, my ticket was free because the middle school teacher gave me one. And at intermission, this is a funny but sad story. Uh-huh. At intermission, it was like 18 middle schoolers and then me and then the teacher. Oh. I didn't understand why we couldn't switch. But
you were the buffer.
Yeah, I was between the kids and the teacher. And they were really liking it. And then at intermission, the teacher was talking over me. One of the kids didn't understand what had happened to Connor. The teacher was like, he died. Remember? And then named another kid. And all the kids were like, oh, yeah, of course.
Whoa.
And I was like, I shouldn't be here.
Oh, my God.
I really shouldn't be here. Can I? Move. And then they talked about their friend who had died for all of intermission. And
wow.
I wanted to go get a soda, but I had to just sort of sit there and be like,
yeah, you couldn't move.
I'm so sorry, 12-year-olds, that this happened to you. And now you're seeing this very cathartic musical. And then they all cried so hard in the second act. That's not why I didn't like it, though.
Sure.
It was just a bad experience that I had.
I mean, I'm glad you clarified that, but I
also separate of that, I didn't like it.
I was in the third row, dead center, and Jay was in the last
row, as I mentioned.
And I sobbed through the entire first act, as everybody does, and then went up and heard the story and was like, oh, okay, I'm going to go back to my seat.
Never mind.
Went down and then sat through the entire second act and was like, what?
I think I would agree that I thought the first act was pretty good, and then I
think it could have just ended at the end of the first act.
But we went because we're huge fans of Rachel Baye Jones and Ben Platt, which and they were great.
We're huge fans of Rachel Baye Jones.
Yeah, she's mom. Saying the Ben Platt. I
love Ben Platt, and I love Beanie, and we love
Beanie Feldstein.
Oh, she's
good. They're best friends.
I liked her.
Yeah. And so by association, we like Ben Platt because we like
but
anything
only
Beanie likes
via Beanie, right?
Well, Robert is attracted to him.
Oh,
that's not a secret.
Cool.
Yeah.
Tell us
fun
more.
Story. So we were there, and a friend of mine at the time was one of the dressers on the show.
Uh-huh. I replaced him.
And
friend.
It was one of those things where,
congratulations.
You know, when you see a show and you're like, God, that person on stage is so hot, but then you see them in real life and you're like, meh, it's not so much. It's like a stage hot.
It's stage presence.
Yeah. I was I'm so attracted to him. Can you slip my number into his pocket, while you're changing him?
I love that.
And he was like,
while you're taking off his diaper.
I'll totally do that. And I was clearly kidding, but he was maybe. I mean, he's not seeing anybody right now. And I was like, oh, I'm totally kidding. But I mean, if you want to
do it.
My number's 443.
I was with you when this happened.
Yeah. And I'd say that he is more attractive now. I don't like him as much anymore now that he's famous.
Love that.
That's a hot take.
It's kind of a Darren Criss thing where now that he's so out there in the media, he is now less attractive to me.
I think I get that. And then it's when it's kind of your secret And then yeah. it's like,
like, he I thought that he was hot before. And now that he is hot, I'm out.
Yeah.
I love that.
He's in Pitch Perfect, for those who don't know.
He is.
He plays Benji.
Yeah.
One of the magician. Like, yeah.
Now everybody knows I've got the magic in me. When I hit the floor, the girls come snapping at me.
Do you guys have any, like, closing thoughts on pop culture, on a note that I had in here, and then we, like, ended up really spiraling?
We did. It's true. Was, I know the note she's about to refer to.
I would like to hear your thoughts sort of on the importance of having this, like, a queer voice on culture as it is today, and how, I don't know, how you guys, like, frame it. And
yeah, I mean, the whole reason we started it is because, this is not a secret, we're both gay. Mm-hmm. I hope no one is shocked. My mom calls me and is like, huh? what? And we both watch a lot of movies and TV and listen to podcasts, and we had never really seen a representation of a friendship between two queer people of separate genders, because it's usually just like a bunch of lesbians hanging out or like a bunch of gay men hanging out. And at least in both of our experiences, that is pretty rare. Like, both of us have pretty mixed gendered groups of friends. Mm-hmm. We both sort of feel like there's a lot of like division in the LGBTQ plus community in terms of like, we get represented usually as like cis white gay men, which is not all of us.
I mean,
present company excluded.
Yeah.
it's one of us.
Yeah.
It's you at this moment.
Yeah.
I've actually been meaning to. but that's not who we are. And we make a really concentrated effort not to just focus on that. And in fact, to stay away from talking about cis white gay men. And we hear all the time from people saying, like, this is stuff I've never even thought about before. A lot of our, like, cishet friends are like, yeah, I didn't know this thing existed. I never thought about this perspective. I had no idea about any of this stuff, which is really all we can hope for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And talking about, like, the intersections of marginalized communities is also something that's really important to us. We're talking about, like, queer people who are disabled and, like, queer people of color and, like, a lot
maybe
of things that—
Maybe illiteracy.
Yeah, exactly.
Possibly illiteracy. Just a thought.
But well, we really do. We cover a lot of different genres in it because I'd say maybe four episodes into making it, we were like, oh, we actually can't talk about Glee the entire time.
Yeah.
Sure, no.
And we were like, well, we really want to talk about things like homosexuality and religion and body image and these kind of heavier topics
yeah.
that all, because it's us, relate back to the entertainment world in right. some way.
Right.
And like this season, we have an episode coming up where we're going to talk about being Muslim in the LGBTQ plus nice. Community, which is something we sort of really struggled with making the episode. I think it's like fair and appropriate to say because it's almost impossible to find that kind of representation. And so yeah. our hope is that like, you know, someone hears that who's never thought about it and is like, oh, like maybe I will make some like movie about an Iranian trans woman.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
and we also are very upfront with the fact that a lot of the things that we talk about, we don't represent.
Yeah.
So we're very forthcoming in bringing people in with us to talk about these things. Like last season, we did an episode about homosexuality and Christianity. And we yeah. talked to Micah Busey, who's a really great out reverend in Lower Manhattan. And he came in and really opened our minds.
Yeah.
So all of those things are things that are very important to us. As well as Lea Michele.
Yeah.
It's so good to have just a wide range of interests.
There's a spectrum. Lea Michele's on one end of it. And
I
like,
love that.
And activism is the other.
Sure. And you know, that's the same could be said for almost everybody.
When does the new season start?
May 28th.
May 28th. Can we
say? Coming up.
Yeah, yeah. May
28th.
Yeah. Yeah.
The podcast is One More Thing. We have Jay Hunt and Robert Ackerman with us. You guys were such a delight, and
you
I
really
hope
were.
You will come back because
you guys were great.
It was so much fun to
just shoot
the ball.
Shooting the ball. Got
That's
it.
What we did today.
Oh. Yeah, I'm going to come back and break into that bourbon over there.
Oh, perfect.
All right. Yeah, next time we'll have
after hours.
We'll have an after hours. Exactly.
Brunch.
Oh, I'd love that.
Thank you so much for listening to Dirtcast, and thank you to Ryan Ackerman and Jay Hunt. Our show is produced by Levi Sharp. Modern Amofidi is our executive director of audio. Our theme music is by Stuart Wood. This episode was mixed by Jamie Collazo. If you want to send us a tip or just let us know what you think, hit us up at dirtcast@jezebel.com. And you can find us on Spotify, NPR One, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.